SB Nation Radio here on 106.7 The Fan with Mike Prada. I'm Scott Jackson. Don't forget, give us a follow on Twitter at SB Nation Radio. Also, hit us up on Facebook. Smack on that like button, and then you can give us a hard time about everything on the page. And joining us right now, a guy who never gets a hard time because, well, the Caps are winning. And he is Adam Vingan from SB Nation DC, the Caps editor, with us here on SB Nation Radio. How you doing, Adam?
Good. Very tired, but very good. Thank you.
Yeah, yes. I want to object to the whole get, he never has a hard time because of the Capitals. Let me be honest. I had a hard time with the Capitals at different points last night. There's no way you could have thought that start of the third period that this was going to end up well for them, given all the kind of virile that was out there.
No, they definitely surprised. I think they surprised the majority of people. They went down 3-0, gave up 2 goals in 7 seconds. It wasn't looking good for the Caps. If it was a different year, maybe last year, maybe they would have had a chance, knowing that they've come back from large deficits before. But the largest deficit they overcame in the regular season was 2, 5 times. So 3 goals seemed to be a little bit insurmountable. But in the third period, they turned it on, tied the game, and took several hours, but they finally got the win thanks to Jason Chimera.
Well, unfortunately, because of the Twitter timeline, it has proven that I absolutely had no faith that they were going to come back and win that game. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I mean, you're right, Mike. I mean, the Capitals, I mean, for whatever reason, through, you know, decades now, have had a similar postseason pattern where you do not expect good things to happen in those situations. Although you could also claim that this is the setup for the ultimate fail if they're unable to finish off this series. But this team has been saying all year, Adam, they're doing things differently, and they're going at it a different approach. They're tougher, they're better defensively, obviously, and I think some of that stuff's playing out here in the playoffs, although obviously every series will be different from here on out, assuming they close this one out. But I mean, is that what you're seeing so far? Is this kind of like, all right, even during the season when things seem to be the darkest, that they find a way to make it through?
Yes, I definitely see it like that, and history wasn't on the Caps side, considering that I believe they were 1-4 all time in 7-game series when having a 2-0 lead. So seeing the Caps down 3-0 after having a 2-0 series lead, and it looks like it was going to come back tied to Verizon Center Saturday, seemed like it was inevitable. It really did. But after they gave up the 3 goals, they didn't give up another one. Michael Neuvirth was spectacular. He kept them in the game. They played good defense, stopped the chances by the Rangers. The Rangers did have some good chances, but they didn't get very many rebounds. Neuvirth corralled them, or the Caps got it out of danger, of harm's way. They really shut it down. They had to kind of throw the defensive mindset out the window down 3-0 in the third period, and they kind of just threw the pucks on net, and it worked. Just like it's been said all series long, if you get traffic in front of Lundqvist, he's going to falter, just like he did in the series 2 years ago, and they got deflection goals from Marcus Johansson. Alex Hemmings stuffed another one in, and then Chimera on the doorstep to win the game, and that's the kind of mentality that they've had this season that they haven't had in seasons past. They're not taking shots from the point. They're not being cute. They're being dirty, and that's how you win in the playoffs. And all the games that they've played, all the one-goal games in the regular season are finally coming to fruition.
Is it really as simple as they just crashed the net more, or was they crashing the net in a different way in that third period as compared to what they were doing in the second period and the first period, I guess?
That's a good question. I really do think that there is some sort of, I can see some sort of venom in them when they're crashing in that. It's just not stopping in front of the crease and getting Lundqvist's face. Semin's goal on Wednesday, and Alex Ovechkin's goal in game one to tie the game, they literally just packed at Lundqvist until the puck somehow crossed the goal line. They didn't stop. They were just smacking his pads. They didn't give it one shot. They gave him 3 or 4, and it worked both times. And Johansson's second goal literally just went off of his body and into the net. They're throwing themselves at the puck. They're not just waiting. They're not waiting for it to come to them. They're going to it, and that's what's making the difference.
We're here with Adam Vingan, SB Nation DC. Also with Kings of Leonsis with us here on SB Nation Radio. Scott Jackson, Mike Prada here on 106.7 The Fan. And were you surprised that Bruce Boudreau stuck with Noivy in net? I mean, we've seen it in the past where, you know, he's had a quick hook in situations like that. Or do you think he really is committed to sticking with him throughout this series if he can?
Based on history, I was a little surprised that Neuvirth was staying in the game after win 3-0. I definitely thought that Semyon Varlamov would have made his first appearance. But I do think that just, you know, changed in the system that Boudreau is playing, that he really must have faith in Michael Neugrath, that he decided that the game wasn't over, that he could rebound from this, he could shake it off, and he could win the game. And he did. After he let in that Brendan Dubinsky goal, he didn't give up another goal for the rest of the game. And he was probably the best player on the ice for the Caps last night. If it wasn't for him, it could have been much worse than down 3-0. And I really think that this could be cementing Michael Neugrath as the number one starter, not just in the playoffs, but in the future. So unless there's another catastrophic collapse at any point during the postseason, I really don't think you're going to see Semyon Varlamov in the playoffs.
Well, that would be very interesting if that's the case. Now, during the week, the big storyline was Bruce Boudreau's comments about Madison Square Garden. And when the Caps went down 3-0, I can't even begin to tell you how many people popped up and said, oh, what a terrible mistake he made. He awoke the beast. And then they won. I mean, am I off base in thinking that that's just completely not a factor at all in the way this series is going on?
Well, I could see people being upset from his comments, especially because I think it came at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I would have made those comments, if I was Bruce Boudreau, I would have waited until the Caps maybe won game four, and then with the series going back to D.C. and possibly not having to go back to Madison Square Garden, you can say it. But I really think he was just trying to. I don't think he needed to deflect attention away from his team. They didn't play a bad game in game three. New York got a lucky bounce and won the game. But they were really getting on him, the Garden faithful, getting Boudreau like he was a goaltender who had a bad night. Boudreau sucks was a good chant throughout the game. So the Rangers were giving more attention to the coach than they were to, you know, chanting "Let's go Rangers," it seems, and that also could have had a profound impact on the team as well. They just seemed to be more focused on "Can you hear us?" was another one that the Rangers fans were saying. So with all that said, as much as Boudreau wild them up, the Rangers fed into it, and I think they spent more time worrying about that than they did on cheering their team on.
And by the way, what he is saying is not breaking sports news. That is a sorry building, and it has been for a long time. It's antiquated. They've been trying to get, you know, they've been trying to do all these renovations there. And here's the great thing. Every time you see these historic nights they have in the Garden, most of them are the opponent. They're not the home team, whether you're talking about the Knicks or the Rangers. There are very few great moments for the home teams there. And so as much history as they're there, there's more so for the other team. I'm telling you the truth. I've been there, and I've seen the role of highlights they show. Michael Jordan, the Pope was there, Elvis was there, the U.S. hockey team was there, they played the Russians there. I mean, yeah, besides a Willis Reed moment.
What about the Rangers winning the cup?
Right, once.
But I think that
most of it's the opponent. He's right. Yeah. It's an overrated building. God's honest truth. It's not the old Boston Garden, for goodness sakes.
And wasn't he also saying that it was the locker rooms that were really bad, not necessarily the whole atmosphere? I mean, come on.
The building smells bad, too. Everybody knows
he was
right. Breaking news. He's 100% right.
It was a throwaway comment. I don't know. It really killed me when people were upset about him like that. I had some guy tweeting back at me. He was like, oh, it shows his lack of preparation. How does it show his lack of preparation?
No,
come on. Yeah. Anyway.
It did keep people. It was much like a Rex Ryan move in the sense that you were pulling away people from what your team didn't do the previous game, and people are worried about your comments and this mouthy coach and all this other stuff, and you're right. I mean, I think it worked great. I think what Adam says is so true, because last night they were very focused on getting on Boudreau in Game 4 as opposed to chanting on their own team. Brilliant. Pure brilliance.
No, I think you're right, and I think, Adam, you would agree with that, I assume.
Yeah, I think so. I really think that would I have made those comments if I was Bruce Boudreau? Probably not. But if it deflected attention away from his team and got the Rangers fans thinking about something other than the game, then it worked. And the Caps won. And whether or not it was lucky or not, they won and they go home with a 3-1 series lead.
All right. A final thing for you, Adam. Do you expect this team to be able to feed off of this? And, you know, look, these are playoff games that are each unique to their own. Does momentum carry over? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Do you buy into that? Do you think the Caps will, in fact, be ready for the kill Saturday afternoon because of what happened and the Rangers falling apart there late in this past game?
Well, you surely hope so, because I understand that for the next 2 days without a game, instead of talking about Boudreau's comments, people are going to be talking about how the Caps were in this position last year.
Mm-hmm.
They were up 3-1 on a Montreal team that they had on the ropes. They lost Game 5. They let them back in the series, and they lost. They're the only number one seed in the history of the NHL playoffs. to blow a 3-1 lead to an 8th seed. And in terms of overall record in Game 5, they're only 8-19 lifetime, with a 5-12 record at home and 2-7 when leading 3-1. So history is not on their side, but I really do think that a double overtime comeback from a 3-0 deficit killed the Rangers. They, from the moment that Marcus Johansson scored the third goal, you could just tell that the Rangers were on their heels for the rest of the game. The Caps had more energy in the rest of the third period. They had more energy in the entire first overtime. They had great chances, including the Alex Ovechkin breakaway, and the pressure was on them when the Caps were pressing in the second overtime, which led to Chimera's goal. I really think the Caps have the Rangers groggy, and you know, we're talking about Madison Square Garden, world's most famous arena, whatever you want to call it. You can use a boxing analogy. They have him on the ropes. They got to lay the knockout punch, and at home on Saturday, it's the perfect time to do that.
All right. Great stuff. Adam Vingan, SB Nation DC, Caps editor, and also Kings of Leonsis. Thanks so much for joining us on SB Nation Radio.
Thanks, guys.
All right, coming up, we'll shift gears, jump into the Wizards, some draft decisions to be made there, one less name in the lottery. Mike Katz from SB Nation DC joins us next here on SB Nation Radio on 106.7 The Fan.